couple, 3 months ago, at the request of our board chair, Adam Hill, we asked to attend a meeting about some concerned citizens from South County who had some concerns about water, specifically at the Mason in the South County area. Went to the meeting, met most of these people here, they had concerns, they talked about them, they heard them, and they said, what do you think? And they said, you know what, that's not for me to decide, that's for the public to decide. So they asked, you know, what do we do next? And they said, yeah, public meetings, what do we want? So here tonight, we gather some information, learn some things, hopefully make us all aware of the water project, what it is, like that is how much it costs, all those kind of things, and just in general learn more about it and what's going on. So without turning back over there, I have to thank you for being here tonight, and I'll be here through the remaining of the evening, but if you have any questions, we're happy to answer after the event, or let's try to finish. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Flag in front of me, it says the Home Community Service District Resolution 204.
presentation, will tell you about a lot of important, things. And for us, this is a really complex issue that we know it is. Distilling it down to a presentation is very difficult because it's very complicated. But the key issues that you'll hear about tonight are the four main water supply director on the mesa. We'll describe the WIP, identify the various costs for it, who's proposed to pay for it, and how you're proposed to pay for it. We're going to get some background on the litigation that went on for years over the water rights, and the same litigation that spawned this project, the WIP, the proposed budget. We'll tell you about who's involved in the litigation and the results of it, in particular the stipulated agreement that came out of it. We're going to tell you a little bit about the San Marino Basin that Bob referred to and the aquifer that's so central to all of these issues. Importantly, we've got some rainfall and key well readings. We'll show you how those correlate to the water levels that are in the basin. I'm going to tell you about the water experts who watch our aquifer and continuously monitor the health of it. Address the suggested possibility of saltwater intrusion into our aquifer. Then we'll explain, I hope that we can explain to you that section. Well, we need to go through the steps for us today. And I'll tell you right now, one of those steps includes a petition. The reason we're interested in the petition board of supervisors, the fundamental reason is we believe that this water problem that we're addressing, if there is one, the water issue, the rupture by the mesa, is a regional problem. It's not just the folks, the property owners who are up here on the mesa, but as you'll see later on, the aquifer is much bigger than that, and it affects a lot more people than that. It's a regional issue. And one that should have a regional solution and should be planned, studied, and planned for at that level. Let's get going with this presentation. Our presenters tonight are going to be Pat Eady and Will Petrie. I got to say, both of these folks have spent literally years gathering information, studying this issue, and compiling all of this, analyzing it all. Both these folks have an impressive academic records, multiple degrees each. Pat was a resident of Black Lake a couple of years ago, moved over to Lentzology, and she spent 30 years as an executive senior manager in the executive senior manager, both in public and Bill's a resident out of Black Lake now. He's past president of the Black Lake Management Association, registered professional engineer, he's a small business owner in the phone, and he's also a publisher of the website. Website we hope will be visited. We'll provide that information to you later in the evening. There's an awful lot of information that's available there. So let's get started. Have you heard of first?
Thank you. Good evening. Happy to see so many faces here tonight. More than I realize that I am off, so it's really a pleasure to be here to share this information with you. There's three things I want to leave with you tonight. One is the story about Taiwan, and it's going to be extended. And the most expensive part of that is going to be the water that comes to us in the next 30 years. It's a long-term project. The problem with this water is that it doesn't add a single drop of new water into our water basin. All it does is move it from point A to point B. Same water. The second one is how much it's going to cost, and I'll share that with you very shortly. And I hope you'll be shocked at the amount of money it's going to cost us. And the third thing is, it doesn't solve any water problems on the basin. So why are we doing it? That's a good story, but that's the end. list of the water users on the basin. Okay, the first one is one that sets that first round. Someone's community services district. And they serve more people than the other water companies. They are a public company chartered by the Board of Supervisors to provide water and sewer service for a range of customers in the Tacoma area, including Flatwood. The second is Flatwood Mutual Water Company. This serves the local village trilogy group of homes that will eventually be 1,300 homes. Probably somewhere between 500 and 600 now. But it's still down to 1,300. They hope that will be bigger. It's going to be longer. Tolls State Water Company is another water company. It's a private water company. For-profit water company. And it is rural water company. These two serve a subset in on the basin. Whole state is the kind of boundary of the part of the home. Rural is Cypress Ridge and the area around the school. The column on the front of the village is a company on the coast. It's a oil project. They use a lot of money. Then there's private wells for the agricultural and household. The numbers on this side show how much water is by each of those groups of people each year. The total is about 12,248 in 2009. Now the important part of this slide, that the ones that are in the whole space up there, the first four, use 45% of the water that's used on the basin. But those are the only ones that are going to pay for this project. The group, the two at the bottom, not pay for the bar or the pipe. Now, what's the cost of this project? The total cost, according to the numbers I've been able to put together from SAMC documents, will be about $400 million. Of that, about $80 million will include the pipeline. And the cost of pipeline building, which is now estimated at about $25 million plus, and then the bonding costs and the interest over 30 years. Those costs, if it is necessary for the capacity, will go on your cash bill. The other costs, $52 million operation maintenance in San Andreas. The agreement calls for $1.7 million to be paid to San Andreas every year for operational maintenance. Then the water cost over 30 years, $268 million. This number is based on the first year cost of $1,343 per acre foot in a document that was provided from San Maria, City of San Maria to NCSC. And that chart on 2011. They raised the cost of average in the last 2 years. So we took that chart, we took that number, and added 5% per year times the quantity that is expected to be put through that hydrant, which is 2,000 acre feet in the first 10 years, 2,500 acre feet in the next 10 years, and 3,000 acre feet in the last 10 years. And put that on the spreadsheet, and that's the number, $268 million. How will we pay NCSC and ask the supervisors to put together the sentence district that covers those four water companies, the customers of those four water companies? Now to do this, they have everything cost for each one, and you've got a mandate based on your capital assets, and it will be assessed based on the size of the property. So if you have a small property that's or less, it will be equivalent to one density unit. If it's larger, then that's based on how much water that they assume will use for that kind of property. So more, it's one density, 0.4 to 0.6 acres, that you're going to have a lot, you'll pay 1.6 times what a smaller unit will pay. If you have 7 cents an acre or larger, it will be 1 to 2 density units. that all will be fine. The central district requires a vote. And this is the subject of proclamation challenge. But this part of the vote, which is the central district, requires the extension of ballot, the proposed ballot box, the extension of ballot, and you have to mark whether you approve of that project or not, and return it. Only the return ballot counts. So it's important, if you don't want this to happen, that you make sure to get a ballot in the mail and return it, and get your neighbors to return it. Because they'll tally up all the benefits of it at the end, and 50% plus one will have a count. If they approve 50% plus one, no vote will fail. Now, what will the rural elections say? I have to tell the other water affairs for a lot of votes. I'm sorry, I don't have the numbers tonight. I'm going to be providing us with another information. The capital cost, first of all, rural is going to have to pay 8.3% of the total project, so 8.3% of that $400 million over 30 years, both in property taxes and water. So the capital cost that will go on the capital will be $6.6 million paid by those 924 customers over 30 years. It won't be an equal amount, it will be different based on how many properties. The operation and maintenance cost, the water cost, and the rural county profit, which currently is 21.7%, will be added to our vote. So we add those three numbers up, the average and total loads, divided by 924 customers. The average cost per customer will be $42,100. If you have a smaller lot, or if you use less water, it will be less than that. However, you can cut down water, but that bill of the water cost still doesn't have to be paid. So reducing water is not going to make it better for the rural. It's going to have to charge more money. Who will use the water line in the type project? Well, NCSA plans to use all the water within its territory, and it will then reduce pumping in the so that other water companies will have more water to take out of the market. I guess that's the right amount. Rural customers will not pay anything. Will not pay anything. You'll not receive any water. You will pay for the water. You will pay for the pipeline. But you will not receive any water. You cannot receive any water. There is no connection between your water system and NCSC's water system. Golden State and Woodlands have emergency intercharges, so it is possible for them to get water in emergency circumstances. But rural does not have that. So, to my way of thinking, maybe it's your way of thinking, it doesn't seem fair that you can pay 8.3% of the total $400 million. Okay, let's back up. So how did we get here? How did we get here? This is the story of water litigation, or whiskey for drinking, water supply. The coal miners, I think, originated in this state because the water miners are very important for protecting coal. They have to have water to build them out of the coal, right? Once they were cold and stop their digging. So that our water rights really in the state go back to coal mine days, and a lot of the water growth is based on the concept of you get there first with the straw, then you have to strike called overlogging rights. I'm not very good with this yet. Why vote for a water litigation? Well, in 1997, the 7th grade water conservation district filed a lawsuit in court that sued the city of Santa Maria, San Luis Obispo County, and a lot of people. If you had 10 years ago, well, you were part leader of our county, supports the laws of the new Santa Clara County, and all this testimony was heard from Santa Clara Court. And there are thousands and thousands of pages of documents on their website. I haven't read them all, but I'm ready to read them. The Santa Clara State heard testimony from water management hydrologist, attorney, engineer, for six and more than 6 years. That's 1997 to 2005. And finally, in 2005, the court issued a stipulation. Interestingly, the draft stipulation that was issued prior to the current one said repeatedly, by the court, the Santa Maria Aquifer Basin is not in overdraft, nor historically has it ever been in overdraft. So testimony after testimony after testimony, this is the conclusion of the court. In 2005, the stipulation agreement was sent out for review, and it was signed by most of the litigants, including those four water companies. Okay, all four of them signed it. And it's a verbal right, by the way, and it also has in there a section that deals with the pipeline. Okay, it says it there, encourage the pipeline. And CFA said, we want to build a pipeline in Santa Maria, and at that point they thought, well, this is 2009, they thought it was going to cost about $6 million. And they said, pay us $6 million because we'll pay for it. So the stipulation only calls for the water cost. It doesn't call for the land cost. But now the pipeline is going to cost $25 million, and she doesn't have enough money to pay that, and they want everybody to share in that cost. Now, those four companies signed that stipulation, agreed to pay for the water cost, and that stipulation has a very interesting clause in it. It says the parties signed have to support this project, and conversely cannot oppose it. So you will not hear any government or water company say they don't want to duck in because it's not allowed to say that. Now, but the court also put a clause in there that says, if this project is illegal, if it can be done, any litigant that signs the paper can apply to the court to have that section taken out of the stipulation. And that's why we want you folks to sign the petition tonight, because we're asking the board supervisors of our county to send a lawyer on the court to file the brief to take that section out of the stipulation. And then we're somewhat out of the dilemma. Okay, what was the result? This is where I'm turning to the presentation of the bill. Are you still done?
I'm going to let you.
Thank you, Matt. That's just here, everybody, so I'll try to come up with a few technical facts to put you to sleep before you start asking questions. I'll do this slide. The result of the litigation set up three basic management areas, one in Santa Maria, one here on Mesa, cities area. Each area must submit an annual report to the court regarding the health of the water supply. This is important because there's some implication in this PR piece that NCSD put out that things just are going differently and not being that we've got threats out there and seawater intrusion. All of that is false, and you'll see in the further in the presentation that the court has already taken over here and is protecting us from these very threats. Okay, so let's try to figure out what we're talking about here. Okay, this is the whole outline of the basin, the water basin. Actually, extending up to the ocean, nobody knows where it ends, so we'll draw the line right here in the ocean.
But even better than writing reports,
Alright, so here's the slide down at the best. This is the result of the work from the technical group. The work gave them a responsibility that said establish two trigger points. One was called potentially severe water shortage and severe water shortage. As part of the effort to determine the trigger points, they first had to come up with a scientifically based method to establish what was important on a basin. And so what they did was looked at the rainfall over the last 35 years and then developed a thing they call the T-well index, that's the red line. And what this is an average of 8 specific wells located around the mesa, and they went through the data for those wells over 35 years to make sure that they were consistent, correct, and reasonable, and represented a reasonable average. So if you use the red line as not the average level of the water level limit on the mesa. And then by plotting the two curves together, you see that the rainfall. Now these curves are not normalized, otherwise they'd be much closer. They're separated just so you can kind of see the data points themselves. Okay, so this is an important piece of information that the technical group has developed, because what this shows is that on the average, the average rainfall is like about 16 inches. But also, then the water level, when that average rainfall goes up and down, water level goes up and down, and its average is also flat. You can just look at this without any intent, but scientific knowledge says, that's flat. You can apply some statistical analysis to this, and you'll think, that's fine. So, one of the claims from the PR group in our famous brochure said that evidence is clear that we're using more water than exists in our natural water supply. Well, I think the evidence is very clear that we are not. Because the water level falls, rainfall, and is trending flat, that shows that the recharge is good every year and has been for 35 years. If this red line started going down, then there would be some reason to believe that we're overpumping this mesa. But when it's flat out, this is fine. This is perfect. It sort of kind of reminds me of a little analogy here. If you go to, most people here will appreciate this, if you go to the doctor for a physical, and he comes back and says, well, how am I, doctor? And he says, well, your EKG was pretty good, but your cholesterol is a little high. Okay, that sounds reasonable, but what do you recommend? Well, you have two options. One is you just monitor what's going on, and if you have a heart problem, we'll deal with it, and we'll do something for the cholesterol. That sounds good. What's the second option? Says, well, we can do a heart transplant. And that's what essentially what this food truck here is. They want to do a heart transplant when there's a threat of something like that in the future. So, anyway, that was my mind. Okay, what this did this work is to show, I think I described a little bit of it, but this is a good point that during that same time period, urban pumping has increased by threefold, 4,000 this business, he will, in fact, is making this for the trigger point to protect the water supply.
There are better alternatives in the loop.
give the technical group's expertise to evaluate the merits of the legacy's proposed carbon projects. And finally, I think I've said this before, in the future, the county needs to establish additional planning efforts and develop cost-effective solutions that are fair for all present and future Maysville residents. So some of this unfairness that we see in this solution should be addressed at the front end, not waiting for the end. I think that's the end of my part.
Can you put that last slide back up here, please? Yeah, I'm glad. Thank you. I have some notes that I made about final thoughts that I would like to share with you, kind of bring a close to what the presentation meant to me. And I hadn't seen this slide yet, but it's new. My God, there we are. We got almost the same information. So I think I'll kind of skip through that real quick. I just like to underscore this concept that the court did retain continuing jurisdiction over this whole matter. And left the door open in the event that we discovered and found that the litigants found that the solution that was being proposed at that time, and remember back in 2005 later, if things changed, which we believe they have, that the court could be sufficient to withdraw from that and consider other alternatives. That's the layman speaking. I want to understand some of the legal language, but it's very important for us to keep that in mind. We do have alternatives. We don't have to do this or that. We don't have to do anything that we don't agree to. I would like to answer a couple of questions the audience here. I know this is really hard because of all the information you want to project from at you. The costs are astronomical, difficult to kind of break down and understand. But I'd like to ask you how many people, as you sit here now, if you had a vote on this thing now, how many people here would support one more for this WIP project and the assessment district fund? Show of hands. Okay. And the other question I'd like to ask is how many people here would support asking the county to pursue regional solutions to help protect our water supply? No, thank you. I think I hope that a lot of our message is getting across, and I do agree with all of you that just raised your hand. I think that's something we need to do. I want to thank you all for having your presentation and a lot of work in that. Real quickly, also at the table up here are some other MCA contributors that haven't met yet. Reggie Dion, Nancy Brook, and Bill Norman at the end down there. Before I lose my chance to give it, there's a bunch of thanks I'd like to give. First and foremost to the Romeos. They know who they are. And I'll just say they've been a huge help to us in getting all the statistics that we put together. And if you want to know who the Romeos are, when they're about to have to ask something paramount. And a special thanks to our sound man, Dean Olson. Randy, Mindy, and Soundman, thank you so much for helping us out with this. We're going to go into the question and answer segment of this. And what we'd like to do is, if you've got questions, if you find your way around to Lynn, we have somebody we're going to be on the mic here for us. Gentleman in the center of the room here, Liam's by the mic, and if you find your way over to Liam and you can ask questions, we'll do our best to get answers.
All right, yeah, the last has been a case that
difference in the opinion of the Alliance? I don't think the Alliance would say that it has an opinion as to why the board decided what it did. None of us, to my knowledge, was part of our party in the litigation. Speaking as an attorney, I'm aware that settlements are made, sometimes simply for the reason of any bit of litigation. What litigation is extremely expensive. And it takes a long time, it takes a lot of resources, it diverts resources from the businesses and the parties are involved. I can only speculate that perhaps the portion of the stipulation that requires the construction of the WIP was seized on as an opportunity to get rid of the lawsuit and divert the NCSD and the other parties from doing their business. And as a resource said, that gave enough room to work around it if the pipeline proved to be too expensive. The pipeline is going to be useful, and that's the only thing I can personalize today. I don't know if anyone else has an opinion.
Many of the people who live here, maybe new to the area, don't know the history, but ago, and then again 15 years ago, MCSD had the opportunity to buy state water directly from the state water project. They did not use their executive powers to make that decision. They decided to take it to a vote to the people, and in two elections, the people rejected the acquisition of state water. What they're doing now is the city of Santa Maria is buying some of the state water that the city of Santa Maria contracted to buy back approximately 20 years ago. So I just want you to know that the goal of the lawyers at the time was to do whatever we could to make sure that as long as the NCSD and other water providers were sticking their straw in the ground, that they took some responsibility for putting water back in. I want you to know too that the presentation today, I sit on the NMMA. I represent agriculture. And I'm the only non-engineer on the group. So this has been a learning curve for me. But I can tell you that the engineers working on that group are working very seriously and very honestly to protect the basin. And part of why I'm there is to kind of watch what's happening and make sure that the public's interests and the overlying water users' interests are protected in that process. Most of the slides that you saw today came in the MMA. This has been a very accurate portrayal in terms of the documentation that's been put up on the slide. And the comment is absolutely true. Right now, NCSD is required by court order to do this pipeline. And it is also true that at the time, they had no idea what the cost of the pipeline was. So I think what has been said here is if people don't want it, then they have to go back to court. Because right now, NCSD has no other choice. I will say this too, I think it's very important. None of us have X-ray vision. We cannot see what is under the ground. There are depressions, and that was brought out in the litigation very clearly. It doesn't reach the level of what's called overdraft. And it's a very technical term in terms of what is overdraft. But the judge cautioned everybody to be very, very careful and to continue to monitor. Because as Bill just said, it's not that there might not be a problem in the future. We need to watch it. So whether this is the solution or not is something that is very often at this time. But that's my insight on what happened at the negotiation.
Water in the ordinary sense of the word, that is water not subbasin. I have two quick observations and then a question. In answer to an earlier question, it would seem to me, based on one of the slides, that the reason rural water was very much in favor, seemed to be in favor of this plan. It's $5.7 million to collect the excess that its customers don't have to pay with virtually no cost to process that $5.7 million of profit. So it seems to me that's a very nice profit to make for the environment. The second question, the second observation, it reminds me of process that the Army used to keep the recruits busy, and also is used in the 30s to keep unemployed people busy. You have one person dig a hole, and then another person fill that hole. And then this process kept going and kept them on top of people employed, quote unquote. Well, if you're pumping water from one end of an aquifer up to the other side of the aquifer, and you have no idea how long it takes for that water to migrate down to the bottom end of the aquifer, it seems like you're pumping water from one end to another end in an endless loop, which accomplishes nothing other than makes something like your water bottomly, and eliminates the cost from, I think it was something like 70% of the residents of the nation, which is quite unfortunate. My question is, has anybody really studied the height of the water table, the average height of the water table at one end of the aquifer, right, versus the average height of the water table at the other end, using sea level as the basis for the height of the aquifer, which would, I think, tell you just what's going to happen when you pump water from one end of the aquifer to the other. This is just going to run down to the other aquifer and accomplish nothing. That's my question. Has anybody said that?
The San Marino Technical Group does have water level measurements of key wells down there. They did not do the same averaging. They don't have a key well index for San Marino. They do have hydrographs of the wells down there, so you can see the trend. And their annual reports do not say anything that there's a trend that needs to be addressed at this point. Everything is normal, within the normal range. But all of the annual reports, by the way, are public information, and they are, I post them all on the pumpawaterfacts.com website. So if you really want to put yourself to sleep, download the link and start reading them.
No climate change involved in the technical reports.
people around here. And the dam up here, they have a bunch of old pieces off, and they decided they were going to clean out and wait till next year. We're bringing 59 inches of those trees in there because the lake filled up in 1 year. What's really driving climate change is really you've got three volcanoes going right now. And when you've got volcanoes going, it changes weather patterns. It does all kinds of things. Most of you are sitting in this audience tonight is because Krakatoa was built in the 1800s, and all your relatives got started then in Europe, and that's why they all came here, because of something called the Tate Man. We have no idea what the weather is going to do, but usually it straightens out, and the water's been kind of constant. We had a local ranch that I understand is going to give the NCSC a pretty high production number that they could use. And that's what you've got here is you've got groundwater. Because the city of Santa Maria takes state water, the good stuff, and they use it to give it to their customers. And then the sewer stuff and stuff that goes to their ground, that's what they're going to send back to you. The state water that comes down is the purest water you can get. It's purified up on top of the long pass through a whole bunch of carbon filters. When it comes down that pipe, it's going to drink the water that you buy in the water. But when Santa Maria uses it, puts it in the groundwater, then it comes back. So that ranch is pumping water out of the ground.
Groundwater, and it's about 50-50 right now, and we're supposed to do it with you.
Okay.
state water and our state water. By the stipulation that requires to use all of that in that grant, so in times of drought, they will not have state water restrictions. And I would guess, in times of drought, there would be lawsuits filed that they may have shipped any water to them, and then shut the pipeline down. After all of those things. I mean, you know, people do those things.
The water, however,
We have on hand afterwards the information about the email of our organization. And on the county website, there are the emails of board of supervisors.
From wells, not
PS and the other utilities, some of the recovery workforce with water rate increases to their customers?
Well, first, the critical issue is not the cost by itself, but whether or not there's a reasonable solution. If the WIP is defeated, then NCSD will be forced to redirect how it proposes to respond to the court's situation. So we go back to the court and say, it can't be done, and let us work on with the county on other solutions. Or then chooses to attempt to pay the cost of the pipeline itself, and by passing on a portion of the pipeline through a room to the other pipeline utilities, and to bring it to neutral. And that is regulation, not how that negotiation will occur, but there's nothing in the stipulation that requires those other utilities to pay for part of the capital cost of the project. To our understanding, nothing I'm told that NCSD might do is pick up the cost itself, borrow the money, and pass those costs on to its ratepayers in the form of a rate increase, which would be grossly unfair to them, and result probably in a what's known as a Prop 218 protest. Voters defeat the assessment bonds, they're certainly likely to defeat the proposed rating for the sensitivity. So it becomes a sign that forces the party back to the board, back to reassess what legal solution there is and how to work with that.
In relation to that, does NCSD already have an issue with the tax free bonds? Do they have lined up with an agency? I mean, we know all of them, and then the guys that used to do most of this. So who's going to fund it?
We haven't heard of any negotiations here. That's why they haven't come out with an offset cost, because they did not line up any bond funding.
So, before they can go along, they have to go with an assessment district. The assessment district is the one that sets up the ability to go after the bond. You just can't go after the bond district by some kind of a bank or collateral grouping of people to pay the taxes before they can actually go after the bond. The bond owners won't accept that.
This is just an observation. From what I understand, the flow of water in the Santa Maria Basin is from the south to the north. Any water going to the north is either extracted, or eventually will end up with the land north end. And any period of excess water will end up with the ocean. As an alternative to this water pipeline, suppose we get Santa Maria to set aside a small while, drill a well, and take the water that they're selling and pump it right down into the aquifer there. That water will serve just as much purpose as we need in the city of the farm. And we've saved $25 million of capital costs, no need for the session. We still got paid for water. But then, what we are doing is taking an array and pump water in one well and pump it down another. A very fancy way to make a store, 375 feet from San Luis Obispo County. I don't know, I'm going to answer.
I'm on the premise that Santa Maria wants to deliver water to the district of the Federal Government. Is there a way for the South to deliver?
Well, I mean,
that is that San Maria is a part of the situation. They agreed to make the sale and use their best efforts in working with NCSD to make it happen. The fact that they're getting paid for and then it helps to see the budget is probably one of the factors motivating them to do that.
And the second question I had is part of their water comes from the state line from Muscatine River Valley. My question is, are you restricted as to where they need to take the that water from the state to run the project?
I think I know what you're getting to, and that is that there is an opportunity, right, for the parties to work on it, to tap into the state pipeline that runs right through the Tumwater Canal to Santa Maria. I don't know whether how
here that they're
speak of rural water.
Is there
a representative from rural water? Is it Chuck Baker here? Called up.
I'm
not a contractor.
I'd be pleased to give my opinion in no way as a result of our water company liable for anything you like.
So, question?
Based on the reaction he's got from previous appearance and previous meetings from Cypress Ridge, if that's interest comes to appear, the governmental fine and misunderstood and verbally attacked. And so, that's my job. So, she has got them already.
Emergency, I doubt that they'd use Intensive settlement, those are people who settle there into
I think most everybody here, the hardcore people who still love them, what we have is a situation where the Homo Mesa itself has a number of residents that have come in the last 15 or 20 years. This is the Pecos-Ecosecosis organic. What's been stated previously is the fact that it is a county problem or a regional problem. Everybody here that owns property is paying the fees to be hooked up to the water systems that they're involved with. It is the county's idea, the state's idea, they're bringing more people in. You're going to have another 150% increase supposedly. That's before any income coming down. So there's no guarantee of that. But it is a county and a state problem. And one of the things that needs to be addressed sincerely is there's no new water coming in here, but we have a good time to make sure down to the problem. That is what needs to be addressed instead of a $400 million open hall or anything else that's of that nature. I understand the board may have said NCSB has to do this. I don't see why that's their responsibility alone. And I think we really absolutely need to discuss the situation of whether we can find the pipeline or why not. The state wants people here. County wants people here. The developers want to come in and develop here because we have space. And it's up to them to take care of their responsibility, not those on the backs of the people that are here for more water.
Thank you.